Woo! He lives in a big house on the big side of town. His shoes cost more than your house, pal. He's the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing. Woo! Son of a gun! And he's better than you.
My pal, Bobby Dylan, was on the front porch the other day, and I said, Bobby D, the dream's in a funk, baby. In public, if you will, the dream is struggling. And my friend Bobby D said to me, he said, dream, life is a drag, life is a bust, but we all get together and do what we must. We got to keep on keeping on, baby.
Woo!
That's what we're going to do today.
It's my favorite part of the week.
His shoes cost more than my house, right?
That's right. Wow. That was an actual Ric Flair quote. It was classic.
What's
Good
up, Tom?
Morning,
what's up, man?
Good morning.
How are we doing?
We're doing well,
great, man.
We're right in the wheelhouse, aren't we? If games can get played.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But I want to go.
Stuff.
I saw Adonis playing center for Kentucky Tuesday night. Oscar Tshiebwe. I mean, 30 leads the nation in rebounds, went 30-13. And I don't know that I've seen a more physical specimen, and I'm not exaggerating, than him. It doesn't translate on TV just how chiseled that man is.
Yeah, Greg, I text you. I didn't know you were at the game, but I texted you during that game and said, man, Vanderbilt has got all sorts of problems right now, and it all comes down to number 34 in blue, Oscar Tshiebwe. And he actually didn't have his best rebound. You know, he's kind of made his calling card since he got to Lexington after transferring from West Virginia as a primarily a rebounder, not really a scorer. And then all of a sudden he comes to Memorial Gym and drops 30 and grabs 13 rebounds. So he is an issue. He alone has got Kentucky right back into the mix of this thing. The SEC guys, Greg and I were talking earlier, John, you know, the SEC this past week really flexed its muscle, and you got to see some premier basketball. And going forward, we've got some outstanding matchups coming up.
No question about it. We're looking forward to that. But, yeah, Tshiebwe just, you know, totally dominating Vanderbilt the other night. I thought Vandy was going to have some good vibes coming off how well they did in Hawaii. They win their SEC opener at Arkansas. They've dropped a couple of now. What are you seeing from Vandy? What do you think some of the issues are there?
Yeah, you know, to me, it comes down to a lack of physicality. You know, Q Mamlora Brown is playing really well for Vanderbilt, but he's just not that anchor that they're going to need. A lot of it kind of resembles what Tennessee's going through. What Tennessee has that Vanderbilt doesn't have is that defensive backbone where they can really kind of flex and step up as a team. Vanderbilt has the outstanding scorer, Scottie Pippen. I mean, he gets 32 the other night, and he's not even the story of the game, right? We're kind of becoming immune to the fact that Vanderbilt has a premier scorer on their team. What they don't have is that consistent second and third score night in, night out that Coach Stackhouse can count on. And Coach Stackhouse even said post-game, you know, we need to compete in this league. We need three guys that are going to bring it every night that we can count on for some double-figure scores and minutes. They got good production from Trey Thomas the other night, but it's just too spotty. It's too inconsistent right now. And I think it boils down to having that go-to big man right through the middle, you know, in the 4 or 5 spot where when the shots aren't falling, where they can kind of slow the game down and match the physicality of a fill-in-the-blank Oscar Tshiebwe in this case.
You know, I'm just going to go around the horn with it. We'll talk about Tennessee in just a few moments, but the Auburn game with Alabama the other night. Now, how much fun was that? Auburn's the real deal. They can win a national championship.
I agree. Jabari Smith is must-see TV. This young man from Georgia that is playing with Auburn right now is as good and as smooth, guys, as a freshman as we've seen in a while. When he gets a shot, he's one of the few guys in the last couple years, and it's amazing that he's a true freshman. When he lets it go, you just expect that ball to go in. And then you pair up with a Wendell Green, KD Johnson, Walker Kessler, the 7'1" transfer from North Carolina, is really anchoring their middle as good as any center in the Southeastern Conference right now. Auburn is a real deal. I made the remark last week on the show that I didn't know how good Auburn was away from Auburn. Boy, they checked that box the other night at Alabama. They were much the best in that game and have set themselves, I think, apart from the rest of the league in the early going.
You mentioned Tennessee, and you know, not a great shooting night the other night against South Carolina, but man, their defense was on point as they blew out the Gamecocks by 20.
Yeah, absolutely. Tennessee, their identity just continues to be team defense. Same type of issues offensively continue to rear up. Now against the not so premier scoring teams, a la South Carolina. You know, they hold South Carolina 17 field goals. That's astounding for an SEC game. But Tennessee itself only shoots 7 for 21 from the three. The thing I do like about Tennessee, they're not so reliant upon the three ever since they kind of turned the corner. Since that Arizona contest, they've really been more reliant on shots inside the arc and even inside the paint. They did get to the free throw line 25 times the other night, John, but they only cashed in on 11 of them. So I like their aggressiveness. I like their physicality at the rim. Kennedy Chandler, you know, is really doing a nice job penetrating for that team. But if they're going to get to the line, they've got to be able to cash those in.
He joins us every Thursday morning at 10:25. Coach Tom Hodges together, him and I, we do the shoot-around presented by Goggin Cold Hall every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And we'll finally get to do one. We had Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and then Snow Day.
Yeah.
So we'll finally be back in studio this coming Saturday. LSU, the knock on LSU, you're sitting there, only one loss going into conference play, although their NCAA, their net right now is number three. But I'm convinced they open up with home wins over Kentucky, Tennessee, then go on the road and beat Florida. Florida's 0-3 in conference play, by the way. But I that convinced me the other night a little bit more about LSU, and you look at who they've beaten already in conference play.
Oh, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. The knock on LSU has been, can they score in the quarter court? You saw it a little bit against Tennessee the other night. When LSU can get out and guard you, they're going to press you. They're going to pick up full court, 94 feet. They've got length. They've got athleticism. Tari Eason is outstanding. He is dynamic as a big man as Walker Kessler is for Auburn, is imposing physically. Tari Eason is imposing with his physicality athletically. I mean, he's tremendous. But LSU really needs to be able to turn you over. The good part for them is they can, and they will take advantage of poor guard play and lack of physicality at the rim. If somebody is able to be poised enough and can handle their pressure in the quarter court, that's when LSU struggles a little bit. And in the games that you've seen that happen, a la at Auburn when they dropped, you know, Auburn had them down 20. Those are the games that I think they'll struggle with. The good part for them is I don't see a lot of people in the SEC, guys, that are going to be able to do that and really take that type of pressure consistently against Will Wade's team.
Saw where Arkansas just absolutely destroyed Missouri, 87-43. Are the Tigers that bad?
Yeah, I was looking at that. I didn't see that game, John, but that score kind of caught my eye.
Yeah, me too.
You look at that. Missouri right now sitting at 7-8 overall, 1-2 in the SEC. Konzo's got a kind of an up and down team, but you know the game before they knock off Alabama. And scored 92 to do so. So it's hard to kind of get a handle on this team from Missouri. I haven't watched them for a full game. I watched them for a half a game back when they played Kentucky, and Kentucky just completely dismantled them back a couple games ago. But you know what I see right now for the SEC, I think you've got a legit three or four at the top in Auburn, LSU, Kentucky, maybe Tennessee. I worry about Tennessee's consistent offense, but Tennessee's defense is going to keep them at the top. Texas A&M, who knows how good they are right now, but they are 14-2, 3-0 in the SEC. They haven't played the upper crust of the SEC. But then you've got kind of this jumble in the middle of your Ole Miss, Mississippi State, South Carolina, with Frank Martin. They're going to be in the mix of that middle. They're not going to win a championship, but they're going to make you guard them, and they're going to guard the heck out of you. So that middle kind of third of the SEC this year is a jumble, and quite honestly, you can plug and put in different teams right now. Arkansas, I thought, was going to be a little bit better than they were and have shown so far, but last night they certainly were much the best over Missouri.
You know, I'm looking at the NCAA net. That replaced several years ago with the RPI, as if we're told anyway, that's what the committee uses this primarily for seedings or numbers of invitations, whatever. I'm looking at Belmont right now today. Belmont is 29 or 28, Chattanooga 37, Murray State 46. Let me ask you this, Murray State 46, Belmont at 28, 29, even with those tough non-conference losses they had. Can the OVC be, let's just say Murray State and Belmont runs the table, they make it to the finals. Can this be a two-bid league?
It could be, Greg. I think we'll maybe know more after Saturday. So if Belmont or Murray blow one of the other out on Saturday, then you probably sway to it's maybe a one-bid league with repercussions if in case they go to the finals against each other in March. If it's a close game and it's back and forth and they were to split in the regular season, then – I think you got a chance to get two in. Belmont is playing outstanding. They won seven out of their last nine, nine out of their last ten, rather. Really playing good basketball. You look at some of their scores; they've absolutely beatboxed their first two opponents in the OVC and SEMO by 40, and then UT Martin the other night by close to 30. So. Belmont's playing well. Moose Mazinski, you know, is everything that we thought he would be coming back. And, you know, Coach Casey Alexander's team is doing what they do. I'm really excited not to overlook, you know, the Murray TSU game or the Tech Belmont games tonight, but really excited about Saturday and watching that matchup.
Well, last Thursday, I listened to the entire show because it took me 2.5 hours to get from home to TSU to do that game. And last week, John kept you over for an extra segment. So the pressure's now on me. Tom, can you hang another segment?
Yes, John, I would love to do
that. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate that.
Here.
All right, we'll be right back. More with Coach Tom Hodges. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Basketball Weekly Spotlight presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. There's no need to consult the playbook. The winning strategy is to always designate a sober driver. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Conference play enters its third week with 10 men's and 10 women's games highlighted by Saturday's men's matchup of Murray State at Belmont. Murray State is number 46 in the NCAA's net national rankings, while Belmont is 28. SIUE redshirt freshman guard Rashawn Taylor earned his fourth OVC Freshman of the Week award and averaging 17.8 points per game to rank first nationally among freshmen playing their first collegiate year. Morehead State third-year guard Taylon Cooper leads the OVC and ranks 12th nationally in assist at 6.2 per game. Morehead State is one of three OVC squads to rank top 45 nationally in assists per game, along with Belmont and Tennessee Tech. Belmont coach Casey Alexander recorded his 200th career win and is 64-14 in 3 years at Belmont. On the women's side, Tennessee State is the only team 4-0 in league play, with Belmont undefeated at 3-0. Murray State sophomore Caitlin Young was OVC Women's Player of the Week and is top 10 nationally in field goal percentage, total points, and free throws made. Belmont's Nick Mazinski was OVC Men's Player of the Week, while UT Martin's Bernie Andre was top newcomer. Tennessee Tech's Anna Walker was top top women's newcomer, while Tennessee State's Sanaya Parker was Freshman of the Week. For complete information on this year's OVC Basketball Championships, March 2nd through the 5th, at the Ford Events Center in Evansville, visit ovcsports.com/Evansville. Follow the league on your favorite social media platforms at OVC Sports. You won't believe it until you OVC it. This has been the OVC Basketball Weekly Spotlight presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Designate a sober game plan. If you've been drinking, don't drive. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. This is Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great week of OVC basketball.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The road to Evansville has begun. The Ohio Valley Conference Men's and Women's Basketball Championship return to the Ford Center in Evansville from March 2nd to the 5th. Don't miss your chance to see OVC's best battle it out for a trip to the Big Dance. All session tickets are on sale now for just $60 through each OVC school's ticket office and Ticketmaster.com. Visit ovcsports.com/Evansville for more details. And be sure to follow on all social media platforms at OVC Sports.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Harry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. Well, go ahead, John. Introduce your guest.
Well, my guest. I would like to reintroduce Coach Tom Hodges for his weekly basketball segment on the John Burton and Greg Pogue Show. Coach, thanks for hanging with us. Or with me, I should say.
John, it's always an honor and a privilege.
Hey, Coach, switching to NBA, how about our guy Darius Garland, triple-double last night for the Cavaliers?
Yeah, I tell you, the Cavs are steady more, hanging around, hanging in. They are going to be a factor in this East. I thought, early in the season, John, we talked, I thought they might fade a little bit, but they're standing pretty, 24-18. Just a few games back in the Central from the East leading Chicago Bulls. And Darius Garland is playing the best basketball. We've said it before. But his on-court growth just continues to be outstanding. And the Cleveland Cavs and Darius Garland are going to make some hay and some waves in this year's NBA race.
And then out West, obviously, our Grizzlies. I mean, I don't know, Coach. If I'm voting for MVP right now, I don't know if I don't put Ja Morant at the top.
Yeah, I think the game the other night, the 116-108 win over the Golden State Warriors, really did a couple things. It put, to your point, Ja Morant in the MVP category, and it put these Grizzlies on everybody's notice that this is not only the hottest team in the NBA, winners of 10 straight, and the best record since December 1st. They're 18-4 since December 1st, guys. They're playing the best basketball in the NBA right now. Something I was looking up this morning, they're leading the league. And one thing, when I've been a part of teams, when you start leading the league, no matter what league that is, in multiple categories, good things normally follow. They're leading the league in rebounding percentage, offensive rebounding percentage, fast break points, paint points, second chance points, opponent turnover percentage, and points per game off of turnovers. One big stat the other night for the Grizzlies, in the first half, they got 20 points off of Golden State's turnovers. The Warriors got zero. They outscored the Warriors 20-0 in points off turnovers in the first half. Ja Morant, the Memphis Grizzlies are for real. They're now in the third spot in the West. They are going to be a big factor in the NBA title chase.
You know, and by the way, they got the T-Wolves at home tonight. We will have the Vanderbilt women that game against the Lady Vols tonight. Tomorrow night at home, 9 o'clock, home start with the Mavericks and then the Bulls. So there's a chance they could win three. They'll be favored in all three of those. So we'll see with that. Speaking of the Lady Vols at Vanderbilt tonight, talk a little bit about that game.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. Coach Kelly Harper has got her best incarnation of the Lady Vols since she's been up on Rocky Top, brings her team to Nashville to face a Shea Ralph-led Vanderbilt team. It'll be interesting. This is the first time Shea Ralph has played the Lady Vols when she hasn't been on the UConn sideline. And, of course, we know how intense that rivalry was for years and years between UConn and Tennessee. So you have to believe Coach Ralph and her staff have extra attention put on this. Their calling card, their team identity has really been team defense, and they've done a nice job defending with almost a reckless abandon in the quarter court. What Tennessee has that Vanderbilt doesn't have is an imposing front line. Kamari Key, 6'7", is continuing to grow her game. This Tennessee team, guys, while they might lack a little bit in offensive continuity and execution, they are outstanding on the glass. And one thing Coach Kelly Harper and her staff have done, you can tell, they've emphasized work on the boards. And when they get in there, it's hard to get a rebound through that bunch. Jordan Horston's playing well. They've got Ray Burrell back. I'm looking forward to seeing how Vanderbilt defends them. Because Vanderbilt roster-wise is a little bit limited in their size and depth, so I'm interested to see what Coach Ralph does, especially in the front court, to kind of limit or compensate for the lack of size that she's been left with on West End.
Lady Vols Final Four capable in your mind, Coach?
I think they are, John. I think they have a chance. I'm anxious to see them against South Carolina,
sure,
who obviously is the bell cow of the SEC. But I do think this team for Tennessee has a chance to make it to the Indianapolis in the Final Four. I don't know when they get pressed. Where are they going to go for that must-have bucket? To me, that's kind of been the missing piece. Just that instinctual score. I think Jordan Horston has that a little bit, but that true go-to player hasn't quite stood out for them yet. I think that may be because Ray Burrell went down with a knee injury early, because she was that for them last year. But defensively, I'd like to see them maybe extend a little bit more and use their length and athleticism. But they're going to be a factor. You know, they're number five in the country for a reason. So, right now, as it stands, the only thing that I think would hold this Tennessee team back is their ability to score and get baskets when they truly, truly need them.
Winning it in overtime, Coach Tom Hodges. Every Saturday,
backcourt mate, Greg.
Yep. Saturday morning, the shoot around presented by Goggin Coldall, 9 o'clock, all the way through April. So, Tom and I on Saturday morning.
Tom Hodges, he is the American dream.
Baby, in public, if you will, we had two segments, back-to-back weeks. It's unbelievable. It's like when I had Chlorine Cunningham back in the seventh grade, I looked at a boy and I told him, you can't have her. It's Bula Bula, Daddy.
Now you know why this is my favorite segment of the week.
Oh, my Lord. At Coach Tom Hodges on Twitter. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Coach. See you.
Thank you, man.
All right.